There you have it, the call on ESPN last night. Joe Tess with Tim Bradley. I was bummed that because Shakur Stevenson is managed by Andre Ward, we didn't get Andre Ward for that fight. He had to recuse himself. And I love Andre Ward on the broadcast. I think he's one of the best guys going right now. But it was a showcase performance from Shakur Stevenson yesterday. I thought that he was going to get him out there in like the second round, Robbie. We were texting back and forth last night. It looked like Caraballo was going to topple over. But I don't know. I feel like Shakur was kind of like carrying him for a few rounds and then just hit him with that money left right to the body. And you could hear that's the one thing with having the no crowd. You could actually hear Caraballo go, ooh. He kind of sounds like Tony Romo calling a play that he's predicting.
Jim.
Can you play that again? Can we get the call back? Roll out. Hear this again, Leroy. You could hear the shot that's Shakur Stevenson. Then you could hear just Caraballo writhing because he got hit in the body.
With Caraballo, he knew he would be outclassed, outskilled, and goes down here.
There it is.
In round number six, halfway through round six. And he's reeling in pain on the canvas. As Shakur Stevenson
placed
the money punch. Yeah. And look at the reaction of Caraballo. A one and done from Shakur Stevenson.
He got him right in the old
after
solar plex.
Six rounds of having it his way.
Ooh, Jim.
Really? So he was winning?
No. He was getting his ass kicked.
Oh, okay.
He was getting his ass kicked. It was a showcase for Shakur Stevenson. Never really. Oh man. It sounds like man. That dude's he does a better whale call than me.
You can't go back home.
Why not? Because of that? Because you got punched.
Not because you got punched in the face or in the midsection. Because you were on the ground.
Oh man. Jeez. Ooh. They say that's the worst though. Like, you ever see those debilitating shots like right in the body?
Dude, we used to fall on the football. And it's the worst. You ever notice when people try to recover a fumble and they never just pounce on it? That hurts.
By the way, yesterday was like your highlight day on Twitter. You were all over the place.
Yeah, somebody sent that, and I'm like, hey, remember I told you guys I caught a touchdown on my back? I had never somebody sent me the actual play.
That was crazy. Yeah, it was like a deflection. Right through the hands, Bernie Kosar throwing the ball, and it just landed. Leroy just laying down and landed right there.
Well, because here's the rule, and this is a rule in all football. When a guy has to run into the flat, right, he has to run across the face of that outside rusher. It slows him down, and if he's covering you, it opens up the inside guy for the quarterback. That's what the whole anytime you don't see a guy in the flat when there's a inside cutting route, that's when that linebacker can sit back and pick the ball off. So that flat guy, that guy who is always who goes out there and everybody thinks it's useless, he plays a very important role in all slants, all square ends, all these different routes. So the first thing they tell you is cross his face. I don't care if it's 2 yards deep in the backfield. Guess what I did? I went underneath, and I got pushed around, and I fell, and I was like a weeble, and Bernie got chased, which is an ugly sight, right? And some kind of way, I don't know why he was throwing it. I was on my way on the ground. Maybe he was throwing it to somebody else. I have no idea. But I did like a turtle and tried to get up, and the ball was there.
Amazing.
I'm like, hello.
Little gift.
Bink.
Little gift. And then there was this that Vikings fan account put out this thing, and you just bum rushing dudes, just trucking them.
I like, everybody thinks I was a touchdown vulture. I really wasn't, but I just got so tired of fighting it. I say, all right, let's just play it.
Just embrace the marketing.
Why don't you just
flap your wings and go, ah.
No, that was here. The thing in here's the thing in Dallas. I was doing the Bronco. I was doing the horse, the cowboy, whatever you want to call it. Because when you do special teams, you have that special teams meeting. And for a whole week, every time the special team guy made a big play, he rode the horse all the way to midfield. And all the fans got crazy. So me and Chuck Evans, who's the fullback, said, hey, if we score, we riding out. Said, we going to do this? Right? Yeah. So I score, break some tackles. I score, right? I start riding the horse. He's looking at me laughing. So I'm on the island riding the horse. Somebody sends me a letter saying, dear Leroy, I was watching the game with my kids, and I used to like you. Then you start grabbing your junk. I'm like, I was riding a horse.
You didn't do the Marshawn Lynch.
No.
Grabbing your junk flying into the end zone.
Dude, that's crazy. Like, you'd be amazed at how people, take things. Just imagine if there was Twitter.
Imagine how much faster you would run if you didn't have those piano shoulder pads on your back.
Hey, I had enough speed. Wow. As Spo would say, I had enough.
I like you making Wansat so sad. No. Makes me so happy.
He's sitting there stoic. That usually means you get your ass kicked.
Yeah, if you guys.
Oh man, that was a good team. We destroyed everybody.
Yeah, you kicked the Bears' ass that day.
Yeah. It's 40.
That was like. By the way,
made it 40-14 with 11 minutes left in the fourth.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Why were we even in the game, Leroy? At that point, you should have been arrested.
Keep in mind, Robert is the start, right? And plus, I'm gonna tell you right now, when the getting's good, everybody want to go score touchdowns, dude. That's why I say when they put the second unit in college, right? You can't get mad at a team for running up the score. Them guys want to score touchdowns, too.
If you guys haven't seen Leroy Dump Truck and Fools and his lucky catch, I just retweeted him at 790 the ticket so you could go see our guy go out there. It was highlight Tuesday yesterday for Leroy. On top
I don't
of
even know why. Just
I don't know.
Well,
it was random.
The one on the back came from BK because every time we talk, there was never any footage of this play. And he says, I tell that story, and somebody sent it to him, so he tweeted it.
Cool. Let's get the headlines.
This is WAXYAM South Miami and WSFSFM HD2 Miramar, a radio.com sports station.
Somebody says you grabbed your onions a little bit.
Yeah.
Little onion grab.
I got it. Well, that's what the guy did. I was just doing what he did. And special teams. By the way, I don't know what it is. Maybe I was a little hungry. My English muffin was delicious this morning.
Oh, really? Oh. Well, you did bike ride 20 miles. Maybe you were just famished.
Nope. See, at 7 o'clock, I'm going to let y'all give you a little inside scoop on the Horde household. 7 o'clock, I go throw my bagel in the toaster, and I know my wife gets up at 7 o'clock. See a little something, and then come back to work. It's lovely. I have no... I could stay here forever. Yeah. Sights are good. I don't have to fight traffic.
What do you got for us today, Robbie?
How was your gentleman's True Valentine's Day yesterday?
It was all right. It was all right, man. Not as good as Tyler Hero's, apparently.
Oh, whoa.
Jeez.
Listen, this guy.
Now, you want me to tell you the difference between a young guy and an old guy?
Yes.
So, I'm considered an older guy. And I see something like that, and I'm like, wow, whew, man, unbelievable. But then I start thinking, what is that going to look like when she's 50?
I don't really, that's where you go with that?
Because I'm old, dude. I've already lived a lot of life, right?
So you
start thinking about the future.
So you think that, in... 20 years, we're going to have a bunch of women walking around with deflated tushes?
Nope. They're going to be dragging that ass. They're going to need that when they go shopping. When they go shopping, they're going to have to put their ass on that cart, the little electric cart.
I don't know, man. Well, Tyler Hero's gazillion follower Instagram model girlfriend, somebody asked her. She has this asked her. She had she has this picture on her Instagram page, and like all of her Instagram pictures, it's just cheeks out. But this one, she's wearing the yoga pants, and somebody asks Tyler Hero, or somebody asks Katia Elise Henry, do you have an OnlyFans? Of course, OnlyFans is a more explicit, I would say, Instagram page, which people have to subscribe to. It's why a lot of the Instagram models, what they make what we call the old side hustle, Leroy. Show a little more skin, get a couple extra bucks. And so the guy asks, do you have an OnlyFans? And Tyler Hero responds, it's in my camera roll.
Bah! Oh boy.
Baby goat.
Then first of all, why did he add him?
Why? Because what he does is he's a 20-year-old man, and he sees somebody perving on his girlfriend, and he just decides to dunk on his ass. Or in this case, I guess hit a dagger through.
You know what? Let me explain something to you young fellas. If you got game, it don't matter.
Nah.
Like, if you that worried about what somebody else, if you that worried about what somebody else got to offer, then you worry about the wrong things.
Maybe. Or maybe you just want to have some fun.
Yeah. Yep.
We all banged.
But you know what? Let me tell you something. When you see somebody looking at your girl and you know she's yours, you tell me you don't start peacocking a little bit.
Oh,
that's right, boys.
And we know Tyler Hero likes to talk trash as it is.
Right. Right. Somebody said, ooh, I feel like she'll age well. Dude, show me a picture of a 50-year-old ass model.
See, this is kind of like an experiment where we don't have the results yet.
Yeah, I don't think the ass model
is too young in our history.
The ass model is too young a species to know what the ramifications are.
I see plenty of seasoned
ass model in yoga pants at the gym.
Yeah, no, don't. Oh, okay, let me explain something to you. It's like New Orleans, dude. That's why I tell you yes. Because in high school, we have some of the finest women in the world. All different colors, eyes, shapes, beautiful, natural ass models, right? When I go back home and see some of them same women, I'm like, good Lord.
The reunion is quite interesting.
I'll give you a perfect example. When I was in high school, they had girl was cheerleader. We liked each other, but I had a girlfriend. She had a boyfriend. But everybody would always make fun of me because they knew that we were cool, right? So when I went back with my boys, when I went home, I think after I got drafted, I went back home. They go, hey, you seen so-so in a while? I say, no, she works over here. Let's go check her out. Now, this was only, she was 21, 22, right? So it's only been like 4 years. Mm-hmm. And I see that beautiful face, and I walk over to the bar, see her face, and then kind of peek over the counter. Goodness. It was over.
Something tells me that that baby goat's not thinking about what the...
No. Of course not. That's why I said the difference. That's why I... Wait. I prefaced this statement by saying... Right? The difference between young cats and older cats. I started off by saying that. So, no, I'm not mad at him. No, go ahead. I was the same way. I'm saying now, I start throwing a couple of years on and say, man, no, I'm out. What about J-Lo and Shakira? Dude, J-Lo and Shakira ain't toting around an ass like Katia. Yeah. No, they're tiny. They're tiny. She has got a locomotive on her back.
To put it like this, like, I would say J-Lo and Shakira are like Mickey Mantle and Roger Maris, and Katia is like Barry Bonds. After he decided to cycle. Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Man,
like that to me.
But you know that Barry Bonds ends up ahead of all of them, right?
You mean like in career? I guess. I don't know.
You think? Oh no! Look, this is no knock on anybody. Let me preface this because what I'm about to say, right? You think an ass model is going to overtake J-Lo and Shakira?
Well, I mean, it's tough.
No.
The ass model doesn't have the musical prowess, so
okay.
I don't.
Okay.
But so I'm strictly sticking to one category here. I'm not going into other talents, whatever they may be.
All right.
I'm more talking about just the home run swing here.
Okay. All right.
For a legitimate science experiment, you need to track down the ass models of 1990 if they even existed and see what they are now.
Oh man, you know what that is? That's the post steroid era. That's when they were like, "Oh, we got to crack down on this," and it was nothing but like, 230 hitters. Let's take a break. We come back. We had a little bit of an awkward moment yesterday on First Take. Dana White got called out hard by. Not your typical interviewer, and so had him on skates a little bit and had him lashing out. Plus, he announced Fight Island. Plus, he screwed our boy Jorge Masvidal. We'll get to all of that coming up right after this.
We will be the first sport back. Fight Island is real. It's a real thing. The infrastructure is being built right now.
Yeah.
And that's really going to happen, and it will be on ESPN.
We have Fight Island. The infrastructure is coming together. Probably in the next week, I'll start releasing pictures of Fight Island. I started looking at all the problems we're probably going to have. And as this thing started to escalate and get crazier and crazier, the number one problem is and will be is getting people in from other countries.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Ah, there you hear Dana White on ESPN. Fight Island is real! Although I gotta say... You know, much like, you know, him coming back and now it's all kind of lost momentum. You know, Fight Island getting released. I'll turn about face on this when it actually comes out. But, you know, they're doing Fight Island. It's going to be in Abu Dhabi. But he's saying they have an arena. I thought that the fights were going to be on the beach. He said there's going to be an octagon on the beach. But that just makes me feel like there's going to be an opening shot of an octagon on the beach in Abu Dhabi. I feel like they're actually going to do these fights in... Abu Dhabi.
Oh, okay.
Abu Dhabi. Okay. I feel like that he says they have an arena. So that makes me feel like these fights are going to be inside. And what the hell is the point of Fight Island if you're not going to fight on the island?
Wait.
What?
He never said they were going to be outdoors.
He said cage on the beach. And I was expecting there was going to be a cage on the beach and that Masvidal and was supposed to be fighting, and there's going to be waves crashing, and it's all just gone to hell.
And we were supposed to go with our boat.
Dude, another oversell.
Your visuals and what you think somebody is saying is so far off.
I figured like we're all going to be out there on our boats watching the bouts.
I thought he was just going to build one of those little temporary like barns or whatever and put it in there.
Oh, like they I always for, thought that. Like they did for the boxing matches,
yeah.
The Super Bowl down here.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Yesterday, the UFC rolled out a lot of fights. They rolled out Fight Island. They rolled out UFC 251 July 11th. They're going to have three title fights. It's going to have Alexander Volkanovski rematch against Max Holloway, Petr Yan against Jose Aldo for the Bantamweight Championship. And then the main event, and this was the one that's super disappointing. And let me explain why. It's going to be Kamaru Usman against Gilbert Burns. I want to make this clear because I don't want this to be disparaging in any way. Gilbert Burns is an absolute badass. He's an awesome fighter. He has a contender worthy resume. It's not, I don't feel like he's the number one distinguished guy right now, but his year's been incredible. He's taken every opportunity. He's fought during a pandemic, fought on short notice. He just beat one of the best welterweight champions of all time, shut him out in five rounds. So I feel like he was super close to a title shot. But he's not the most.
Maybe he's getting rewarded for fighting during the pandemic.
Well, he's getting rewarded for being the guy who said yes. He's saying yes to an opportunity. That's all he's doing.
Okay.
So he is not at fault here. Kamaru Usman, not at fault here. With this, you fight who the company tells you. If they tell you they can't make the Masvidal fight, could you argue, hey, tell me I'm going to, you know, could he be more demanding as a champion, saying I'm only going to fight Masvidal? Maybe so, but, you know, he doesn't like Masvidal much. He's also, you know, put out there that he wants to fight, that Masvidal's the merit of being number one contender has holes in it as well. But look, let's make no mistake about this, all right? The UFC dropped the ball here in a huge way just by being cheapskates, okay? And you can come at me and say, well, you could, you know, you can say, oh, Masvidal has seven fights left in his contract and he's locked up here. And people say, why can't Masvidal just fight for the belt and then get with the rewards? Well, first of all, let's just get to that.
He ain't making seven fights.
Let's just get to that point first. If you're if your boss is already arguing you have 7 points, what's a belt going to make a difference? He's already telling you, I got you locked up, hombre. That's your contract. Contract's a contract. Secondly, the UFC messed up here for this reason. You can come at me with gate. You can come at me with pandemic. This guy, Dana White, he's talking out of both sides of his mouth because he wants to act like I'm keeping it going. I'm the sport that's rolling. I'm not making anybody take a pay cut. But these guys go out there. They don't get a piece of the gate. They don't get a piece of that business. The risk that they're going out there, there is not a difference at all with what they're going through when they take these fights. And one could also argue with record numbers being done on documentaries, with any kind of sports programming that you could give anybody, your numbers are going up. He's saying this past week, Amanda Nunes, that fight card, doing fantastic. So if you're arguing that your gate's suffering, but your television numbers are being fantastic, I don't know if you have a big grounds to cry poor here, Leroy. Also on the fact that they're doing everything out of their own hub, basically. They were over this past time in Las Vegas. They're not having to rent venues or any of that type of stuff, site fees, any of those types of things. But the biggest problem I have with this is it's so short-sighted. You had this opportunity here with Kamaru Usman and Jorge Masvidal, a true grudge match, which was also a deserving title fight. To me, that is like the unicorn of fights, Leroy. You got a fight with high stakes and they hate each other. What could be better than that? It's like Daniel Cormier and Jon Jones. It's just a super concoction. Khabib versus Conor. Title fight, hate each other. Makes for the biggest fights. These two guys did such a good job promoting themselves. You were at the Super Bowl, Leroy. Super Bowl week. You were chatting it up, saying, oh, this is the fight to make. We're going to do it. That was 4 months ago. And not only that, you talked about doing Masvidal's title defense. If he were to win, you were talking about doing the title defense down here in Miami because you see how the city of Miami reacted to Jorge and what a star he has become. To bastardize that because you want to say these guys are being greedy is ridiculous. If anybody's being greedy, you are. You're the one who's ramping it up, making all these events happen, speeding it up, putting Fight Island across the universe just so you can fulfill contract numbers. Not worried about a pandemic. You're worried about making sure you get your guaranteed ESPN money. So honestly, who's being greedy in that regard? But the other thing is, let's forget about the greed for a moment. It's short-sighted for this reason. Kamaru Usman, he's a fantastic fighter. All right? Has a chance to be one of the best welterweight champions of all time. But a star isn't what it should be. Jorge Masvidal, he's got a rocket to his back. Super famous right now. Super necessarily famous right now, Leroy. And you could have had these guys fight in a mega clash. It could have gone two ways. One, either Kamaru gets to fight a star and his star rises because of that. We call that the rub. Or Jorge Masvidal wins it. Right. He becomes even bigger. And the other thing is, there ain't a shot in hell that Conor McGregor is going to be fighting Kamaru Usman. Doesn't clash with styles. Why would he take on a more monstrous Khabib Nurmagomedov, a guy he has no rivalry with? That's silly. But could you argue Conor would go in there and fight a striker like Jorge Masvidal? I would think that's a little bit more likely. So what's going to get Conor to the table to actually fight Jorge Masvidal? Getting Jorge Masvidal a belt. So the idea that not only did you jeopardize the potential star power of Kamaru Usman, you also jeopardized the potential super fight with Conor and Jorge Masvidal. Conor going for a third belt. Masvidal having the chance to beat McGregor, become even bigger. What you have now put it up is two guys in Gilbert Burns and Kamaru Usman, who are teammates, who love each other, who, as we heard from Rashad Evans yesterday, have come up through three gyms together, Leroy, here in South Florida. Three.
Right.
Three gyms. All right? They've known each other since they were children. Well, not children, but young men. And now they're going to divide a gym. And what could happen? Kamaru Usman could lose the belt to a guy who's been in the Lightweight division for 3 seconds. I think that's not a great look. Or he beats Gilbert Burns, who's been popular in the Welterweight division for 3 seconds. So, look, I'm happy for Gilbert Burns. Good for him for saying yes. That's a huge opportunity for him. Like I said, it's deserved. He's only saying yes to an opportunity. Nothing wrong there. But for the UFC, who has been nothing but cheapskates this entire time, and it's been spotlighted now with this whole Conor McGregor and Jon Jones and Jorge Masvidal all coming out at the same time, very disappointing as a fan of the sport.
So I would say your overall thought on this is they're not thinking big picture.
They're thinking big picture at all.
Little bitty tiny picture, Polaroid.
Yep.
They're not looking at all the possibilities of the future in this weight class, in the fight game. They're just looking at saving a couple of bucks right now.
Just roll it on so we can put an event on for the lowest amount of money because we can't make the most amount of money right now. Which, by the way, if it's in Abu Dhabi, I imagine there's going to be some – you know, some VIP seats there for certain people. Don't tell me.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't they have a Khabib card at that place? The Khabib Dustin Poirier fight.
I think they did have it in Abu Dhabi. I don't know if it was the exact place. I saw that report about ESPN yesterday, but they have been here before. I know El Helwani has said they've been to this location before, which again just speaks to the fact Fugazi Fight Island. Okay, all right. If you don't have pirates, it's not an island. I wanted pirate ships. I wanted there to be rum runners. I wanted them to make it an actual island.
Someone shows up to Fight Island and says, Dana White, I'm the captain now?
Yeah, that's what I wanted. Something legit. And what I got was half-assed Fight Island.
It's going to be harder for our boat to make it over to Abu Dhabi.
You got Putin, Leroy.
Oh.
Yep, first time today.
Can't we talk about that nonsense in Abu Dhabi?
Crazy. Texter writes in, does the UFC give us great fights? Yes, it does. Masvidal didn't take his chance. Here's the thing, though. Masvidal took all of his chances the year beforehand, where he went to England, took on Darren Till in Darren Till's home country. He took on a guy in Ben Askren, who everybody said was a bad matchup for him. He needed him in 5 seconds. Then he took on Nate Diaz. It could have been argued after beating two top five guys and beating Darren Till and beating Ben Askren. Even if you know, whatever you had them rated, they were top five guys at the time, wherever they are now. They were top five guys at the time. You beat two top five guys, you're normally in line for a title shot. He forewent the title shot and said, nah, never mind. I'll fight Nate Diaz. Let's go. Boom. And beat Nate Diaz, stopped him, won the BMF belt. So it's not like Masvidal is just sitting here safely by. He wants the fight. It's just that he feels like he should get paid a certain amount. And really, when certain stars are getting to this point in the UFC, If you see all of these guys going out there and they're all, if you have three of the biggest stars of the sport all telling you they're not happy with their pay or how they're getting treated with the sport, you're going to back the company in that regard? That's weird to me. It's a weird thing.
It is. But you know what? I think at some point they're going to have to come off some money. Like, you're going to have to spend money, make money, and how you spend money in UFC is on the fighters. Making fights. It's not like, and here's what's weird. Because in boxing, up the money so many different ways, right? And they still manage to pay boxers. UFC doesn't have to split it that many ways. And they're going cheap. Seems to me that boxing would go cheap if anybody.
This used to be the promotion of merit. The people who deserve the title shot got the title shot. And instead,
now we're in boxing.
Who will do it for the right price?
Boxing.
Which, to Leroy's point, is a big boxing move. Who can these high-priced guys, who can these champs fight for the budget fighter that'll get some eyeballs, but we get to keep most of the pie? It's a boxing move. It has been it's been done for decades upon decades in boxing, and that's what's totally disappointing. And to the guy's point, does the UFC give us great fights? Sure. Was this weekend a lot of fun? Yes, it was. But they have super fights on the table that they're just leaving there because they're being cheap bastards. And that's just that. And again, this isn't to take shots at Gilbert Burns. Gilbert Burns is awesome. In fact, I think there's a good chance Gilbert Burns does beat Kamaru Usman, which nukes the entire rivalry in the first place. That's like Gaethje throwing in there and ruining Khabib versus versus Tony Ferguson.
Here's the other problem. Unlike any of those other fighters that you talked about, Masvidal's going to be 36 in November.
Yeah, I'm not so worried about that. So like, in fighting, 36, really? 36 is an ancient. It's not ancient.
Right.
I'm not too worried about that. Now, if he was 38.
The division was. Is there anybody over there? Connor's
over 30. Kamaru's over 30. Most UFC fighters, they like hit their prime once they get to 30. There's very few John Joneses out there who are like the best thing in the world at 19, 20, 21 years old.
All right.
So, anyway, that's my rant. I do want to play Dominique Foxworth giving Dana White the business, but we ran out of time here. So maybe we'll get to that on the other side. But I got a lot. I told you, Leroy, I was coming in loaded today for this Petty Wednesday. I got a lot of people I'm upset with.
You are, because when I saw the sheet, it said 15 minutes a heat. That's it.
We'll take a break. We're back with more after this.
I got loyalty inside my DNA.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy, you can text the show 786-360-0790. Let's give you a quick update here on COVID-19, powered by AirPros, $79 service. Call the pros that know, AirProsACRepair.com. Contingency plans, some follow-up plans, Leroy, from the NBA. They're going to maybe condense next year's season to be more online with the regular schedule. So they talked about that. And then our boy Fauci, he's coming out of the woodwork. He's saying that this nightmare pandemic isn't close to over. Now, I was just asking. I'm not saying not to trust Anthony Fauci, all right? But Anthony Fauci had himself a little 15 minutes of fame, like a little hit run, Leroy. Well, we were seeing Fauci left and right. You know, Fauci was everywhere. I feel like he had his own action figure line, his own bobblehead. Fauci was everywhere. You feel like Fauci's trying to, clam onto some fame because we haven't talked about him in a while?
No.
You sure?
Look at the numbers.
Yeah, but are the numbers more because there's more testing? I thought we talked about this. Like, the rate isn't as, the rate is lower.
I mean, it's still way lower than it was before when this first started.
Yeah.
All
right. I'm just asking. I'm not saying he is.
I'm just saying.
You know, Fauci's seeing everything go down, and we haven't seen him in a while, and, you know, everybody likes fame. I'm just asking if Fauci's out here, and he's just looking to just remind everybody, yo, your boy's still here.
If everybody was dealing with smart people, if we were all dealing with smart people and not knuckleheads, we could say these words. We're going to start easing the restrictions, but we still want everybody to be cautious, right? And you would know that people still wear their mask or whatever. Now, the protests didn't help. Got all the protests going on.
Yep.
And you have to take that into account. But even before the protests, people were out there all willy-nilly, not paying attention, not doing social distancing. And so from that standpoint, I can see how somebody could say it's not even close to being over. Because he probably don't trust people either. He don't trust that everybody's going to do the right thing to get us over the hump and through this.
Now, Leroy, I'm with Tobin here. I'm not saying anything about not to trust him or whatever. But, Leroy, you know how you always say how there's no penalty for being wrong if you're like a journalist out there and you make this prediction and it goes wrong and there's not really a penalty? Well, if you cast the biggest gloom and doom out there and it ends up not being gloom and doom, there's really no penalty for being wrong there. It's only a penalty if he says, oh, go out willy-nilly and then things get bad again. That's when you get a penalty for being wrong.
Right. Like, isn't the saying happiness is expectations divided by reality or something like that? So if you have really low expectations and things that turned out pretty good, everyone's going to be like, hey, my man Fauci.
No. But isn't he erring on the side of caution?
But yeah,
so tell everybody we're still in a bad situation and it's not close to being over, right? Which is not just going to go away. But if you tell people, hey, wait a minute, man, you can't be out there like that. We still have to take this serious.
All right, but isn't that also like you ever go to the you ever go?
You know what you sound like?
What?
You sound like a guy that I have to wear a mask around because you ain't gonna be wearing your mask.
I've been wearing my mask. I got my Marlins mask on. It's a great time. Listen, I gotta tell you something. You wanna hear something out? I like wearing masks in stores. I don't like wearing outside, but in stores, I like people not knowing who I am. You know, makes me feel like I get away with a robbery. It's a good time.
No, you can't.
Oh yeah.
And they say, what is the description? He had a big nose and short arms. Oh, that must have been Tobin.
I think it covers my nose. I got the landscape there.
I'm telling you, that face guard or that mask, you still can tell the person's nose.
But you don't think there's a little piece, like you're Fauci, right?
Yeah.
You've been doing press conferences every day. Every day everybody's tuning in and watching the Fauci man, all right?
Yep.
And old Tony's out here, and he's telling you, hey, listen, I get this. Now all of a sudden he's like on Jimmy Fallon or something like that. You know, he's on The Tonight Show. Then all of a sudden people stop a calling, you know?
We got
different things. We've run out of attention. And so he's like, hey, everybody, don't forget about old Fauci.
In fact, it kind of worked the other way. Because when the president was saying things and Fauci was standing behind him going, oh, I ain't signed up for this. Then when he's not around the president anymore, people want him to give his honest answer about where the pandemic is because he seems trustworthy, he seems like he's going to tell it like it is. So from that standpoint, separating and not being around as much, not being at all those news conferences, maybe has given him more credibility.
Huh, interesting. Or maybe they're not letting him at the press conferences.
Oh, no. No, look, you don't want the doctor that everybody loves giving you the look that I give you when you say something stupid.
Somebody says, COVID-19, the percentage hasn't changed much, just more people getting tested. I'm an ER nurse, and this will linger for a good minute. Not going anywhere. Wash your hands. Keep your distance. Tell you another thing I like about COVID-19. Well, this pandemic. I like hand sanitizer. I didn't think I would, but I like the sensation of hand sanitizer. So I think I'm going to keep that going no matter what.
It dries my hands out.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, I'll tell you, you don't have the problem of having alligator skin.
Tell you another thing I like. Fist bumps. I like the fact that we go to fist bumps instead of handshakes. Or elbows, like the Bash Brothers. I like that too.
Well, I like the awkward decision of whether to elbow or whether to handshake. It always leads to it. There's going to be so many awkward, you know, handshakes and elbows when everybody comes back. I hate it.
I mean... I'm gonna tell you what. I hate the awkwardness over the handshake or the fist bump with people I normally wouldn't do either with.
Somebody says that I'm starting to sound like a flat earther.
You are.
I don't think so.
You are.
We'll just say, Leroy. Think about it. If you're a highly respected doctor, and you if you're a respected doctor and you come out and just cast the biggest cloud of doom and nothing happens. Nothing's going to happen to you. It's just be like, oh, well, erring on the side of caution. If you're a respected doctor and you say, go out and party and things get bad again, I mean, that's a malpractice. You can lose your medical license.
It's exactly. The worst thing.
So these guys are never going to come out and say, hey, go out and willy-nilly. They're never going to say that.
Can I say something about doctors too? All right. My best friend's a doctor, so I feel like I could say this.
He don't come. He's a foot doctor.
Whatever. He could have been. No. But here's the thing. He could have been any doctor he wanted to. He's smart enough. My friend's always, his strategy was, what can I make the most money for doing the least amount of work? That's the way. It was the same thing in school. He was always the smartest with the least amount of studying, and it drove a lot of people nuts. So he could have been anything. Could have been a brain surgeon if he wanted to. He chose foot doctor. He goes, why? Because for the price that I can make, for the money that I can make, it's the least amount of worrying. What do I got to worry about? Old people's foot and gangrene? Sounds fantastic. What do I got to do? Chop off a couple toes? I know how he works. So the thing that drives me nuts is, you ever go to the hospital and they x-ray you for everything?
Yeah.
What do I need these x-rays for? If I'm not feeling a little good, here's what they do. They rule something out, but then they want to overrule stuff out. And I'm like, is this quite necessary?
Isn't that the job?
I feel like, you ever go for
I broke my ribs, I wish they had x-rayed it. We would have found out sooner.
Yeah, they wanted you back on the field, though. That doctor was on the take. I don't know what to tell you. But like, you ever go to a doctor and they say, if you go to your general doctor, your general practitioner, right? They'll give you, no bigs, have some vitamins, you'll be all right. Okay, cool. But if you ever go to the hospital because you're really feeling real sick, man, they give you what's known as the works. And then all of a sudden you get that hospital bill and it's like, damn, I feel like a car that just got detailed.
And maybe that's the problem with the medical profession. I'm like, look, man, it's called, somebody told me this. It's called practicing medicine, right?
What?
That means you have a series of tests to evaluate what a person has. And if you don't go through that process, you could be liable. So they err on the side of caution. Make sure you get all the tests so they can figure out what the issue is. Just telling you.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll get you caught up with your headlines. We're back after this.